as the winds of war, in an audio sense, drift away. But maybe they'll be loud and present sooner than we think. The Middle East continues to be a slaughterhouse. And how many stories have you seen about it in the controlled Zionist, mainstream Jewish-owned media? Huh? How many? You know, it's kind of being brushed away now. They're killing 200 Palestinians a day, minimum. That's the stories I'm getting anyway. It's really beyond belief. It's really beyond belief. Some Russian minister of parliament today said, put nuclear weapons back in Cuba. That's an interesting comment to make. We know the effect it had back in 1962, the last time. Yeah. Headlines out of Gaza. Genocidal Jews napalmed civilian refugees. So they're now dropping napalm on them. 2 million human beings, most all the Palestinians in Gaza, may die without the world's help. They're starving to death. That's the game, though. They're supposed to die. It just goes on from there, nonstop. Got one good story in headlines. I haven't looked at it yet. The fake first daughters of Obama and his gay tranny first family. So you might want to look at that one. Those girls apparently came from some friends of the Obamas from Chicago. And you look at them comparing photos between the child and the parent. One looks like each parent. It's almost a ringer for them. And the word is that the formal Obamas, who used to occupy the White House and still do by proxy, just kind of rented those kids and gave them the best life and whatever. Who knows where they are now? Anyway, there's a lot. Think about it. We've had an openly homosexual president, transsexual first lady, who now is apparently getting ready to maybe run. And with all the corruption out there, maybe she could win. There are photographs out there that make it very obvious that Big Mike is Big Mike. All right, let's get right to business here with Mitchell Henderson, who's back to tell us about the world through his eyes and his lenses, which have become incredibly sharp watching all this happen. Welcome back, Mitch.
Good to be here. Tonight I was going to talk about politics, but I want to open with some war crimes, okay, just to show you just how evil these people are. Okay, so let's start with the war crime of the week. Children are starving in Gaza. So what does the Israeli Defense Force do? They drop explosive candy bars that blow the kids' mouth and face off when they bite into them. I sent you some video of how they're made and constructed.
Where did Israel get this idea from? That up. And there's more to this. It's not just candy bars.
Yes.
Mitch probably has the whole story here, so go ahead.
So where did Israel get this idea from? They got it from the Ukrainians. The American CIA thought this up for use in Ukraine, but it is less effective there because the kids are not starving. It is having devastating effects on the children of Gaza. The IDF also plants booby-trapped cans of food to the starving, so the starving Palestinians can pick it up. When the cans are opened, they blow up, killing everyone nearby. This concept was developed by the American CIA. We do this. We're paying for this. We're backing this. Okay.
Now, so, hold on, Mitch.
I really want to
underscore that. This is beyond satanic evil. So the Ukrainians figured out, and remember, Ukraine is no more of a democracy than the old Soviet Union was. It's being run by Zionist Bolshevik Jews. They're all there. It's obvious. They decided, okay, we're going to make explosive candy bars to kill children. That's not human. It's not human behavior. And then they figured out, wow, we can make canned goods like the American CIA developed and put bombs in those cans, so when they open the top of the can, it'll kill half a dozen of them. That's what they're doing. These people are starving. This is so evil, Mitch. These people should not be on this planet. This planet cannot tolerate good and evil like it is now. It's not going to work. It's going to all go down, as we know. Go ahead. I'm sorry for the interruption, but that really bothers
me. Okay.
Oh, man.
It is. It's terrible. So meanwhile, near the Israeli border with Gaza, the IDF was rigging a residential building with explosives to demolish them, since they have no intention of letting Palestinians return. Hamas fired an RPG at it and set off all the demolitions while the IDF soldiers were still inside. The building imploded with 24 IDF soldiers inside. Incredibly, Israel called this a terrorist attack by Hamas. I was thinking it was a legitimate target.
Of course it was.
They're not supposed to be blowing people's buildings down.
Homes up.
Okay.
It's a war crime.
Yeah, homes.
This is incredible. So they paid the price.
They paid the price. Yeah. So meanwhile, Ukraine shot down the Russian plane carrying 65 Ukrainian soldiers to Ukraine for a prisoner exchange. Ukraine killed its own POWs, then blames Russia for blowing up their own plane. You know, Zelensky's saying, oh, we got to have everybody investigate because Russia blew up their own plane to kill our POWs. That they were going to trade for Russians. It was shot down by American Patriot missiles, okay? And I want you to key in on this, American Patriot missiles. Who pulled the trigger? Who targeted that airplane? Americans did, okay? There was not Ukrainian soldiers in the Patriot missile battery.
Absolutely. They use our satellite intel. All kinds of intel to target and destroy. It's the U.S.-Ukraine war against Russia, right? It's the U.S.-Israeli war against Gaza. We're intimately involved with this.
It's us. So the International Court of Justice asked Israel to stop committing war crimes. It has no teeth. This is good because it shows that the liberal, woke Marxist institution, the International Court of Justice, is just a tool of the Zionists, okay? So the U.S. Republican Senate comes up with a border bill that gives Biden total control over the border. If more than 5,000 illegal aliens cross in a day, he can close the border for a few days. But it is at his discretion alone. He is the only one who has the power. He's the one who opened it up. Look at the videos. He said in news conferences, there will be an endless stream of illegal aliens coming into the United States, and this country will be a minority white country by 2070. He said that openly in the news, okay?
He was smiling
when
he said it,
too. And the Republicans want to give him control of the border.
Mm-hmm.
He is the one who opened it up. Why would we give him that power? They want to appease detractors and actually accomplish nothing except give Congress the opening to pay billions for illegals to settle in the U.S. and pour fuel on the fire of the genocides in Gaza and Ukraine by shipping billions of dollars there to support nothing but death. Meanwhile, Israel says that 12 guys that worked for the UN took part in the October 7th, so the U.S. cut off all aid to the already starving Palestinian refugees. America is just as guilty of genocide as Israel is. They're working hand in hand.
Yes,
okay?
Sir. American planes, American bombs, Israeli pilots. So there you go. Oh, let me say one other thing before we step away from the Middle East. Then I got one thing to add about the border. There's a lot of different angles to all this. Where did my story go? All right, I'm going to go back to the border here. Governor Abbott is quoted in the news in light of this confrontation between the federal government and the government of Texas. He's not even in Texas. He's been in India for 2 weeks. I don't know if he's back now or not. I think he might be. But he's been in India. All right? Now, he's bragging again about transporting invaders after they cross the border out of Texas. Is he transporting them out of Texas back across the border? No. He's transported now, and he's bragging about this, over 102,000 invaders into the heart and soul of the U.S., into sanctuary cities, yep. Dumped them off to teach those Democrats a lesson. Am I stupid? Does he think people are that stupid? If he wanted to do something patriotic, he'd take them to the border and point south, start walking.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
Exactly.
He's not a hero. Treason is treason.
He's
read the Constitution.
Into the country deeper.
Thank you.
Yes.
Sickening.
Okay, why don't you go ahead with that? Because I want to talk about a Jewish propaganda meme also that,
okay,
that
good.
Became very apparent right. this week. So
now,
go ahead.
A story came out of Ukraine from a Russian commander. They know. They don't play games, the Russians. It's not like the Ukrainians do. That the Ukrainian troops are now executing their own wounded troops to prevent them from being captured by the Russians. This has been going on for some time, as Mitch has told us in the past. They shoot their own in the backs if they try to retreat. Now they're if they're wounded, they have apparently a hit squad, an executioner or two or three in every company, and they're going around and they're killing their own wounded troops unless they can walk out. And the other side of that coin, the same thing is happening with the Israelis. They're executing their own rather than let them fall into captivity. It's called the Hannibal Directive. Look it up. H-A-N-N-I-B-A-L, Hannibal Directive. And they're using that on the Gaza Strip. They're intentionally killing Israeli hostages when they can find them to keep them from continuing to be used as political pawns. They've done this already. They've killed many of their own. Mitch, this is not human behavior. I know it's not new. It's probably been practiced in other wars, but this is all disgusting.
No, we're supposed to be beyond all that now. This is the Antichrist. This is inhuman behavior.
We've gone retro. We've gone backwards. Go ahead.
It all backward. So I don't know if you've been noticing, but there's a lot of the new progressive commercials. Jews hate God and hate humanity. Have you noticed that all the commercials like Progressive Insurance pointing out how embarrassing your parents are and training people to not be like their parents? This is a Marxist attack on the patriarchy by attacking
the fifth commandment.
Honor thy mother and father. They are encouraging an ungrateful generation. It is so comprehensive what they're doing. Okay.
I haven't seen
these,
Mitch.
This
is despicable. This is incredible.
Yes.
They're actually... Look, the rank and file don't understand that they live in a virtual world created by their owners, their controllers. The world, to them, is a reflection and an integration and a synthesis of what they see on the flat screen. That's their world.
Right.
That's reality to them.
It is.
And they'll take parts of it, but they're integrating it into their own version of the world they live in. So they're living in a fake world, a world of Jewish construct and control. That's the truth.
Well, let me just bring up a point on that, okay? Since we're on the topic, okay? Marshall McLuhan was this Canadian media guy, and he wrote a book called The Medium is His Message, okay? And he did intensive studies in media, and there's a lot of things that he said that is very popular now, and we don't know that he's the one who coined the term, but the term 15 minutes of fame came from him. He predicted 30 years before the World Wide Web that we would have social media, and people would use that to get their 15 minutes of fame, either by some TikTok video or something to become famous, or get 1 million follows or something like that. And so he said that, and he told this to Timothy Leary, he said that what radio, television, and social media are going to do is everybody will be able to turn on tune in, and this is the radio and the TV, turn on, tune in, and drop out. And drop out of what? Drop out of reality. He said
exactly
a long time ago. Back
yes,
in the
he did.
60s.
I remember the book.
So that, you know, we kind of think of turn on, tune in, drop out as an LSD thing or something. And that's just because Timothy Leary repeated it. But what Marshall McLuhan told Timothy Leary is that this is what the radio, TV, the computers, everything would condition society, because we would all turn them on, we would tune them in to where we wanted to be, and then we would drop out of reality. Okay, and that's what that phrase meant. Okay,
thank you for that. That's very important, and you're 100% correct. The former Federal Communications Director, the FCC director named Newton Minow, believe it or not, made another great statement. In addition to McLuhan's, the medium is the message. Newton Minow said, television is a vast wasteland.
Yeah.
So look it up. Anyway, go ahead,
Mitch.
Great stuff.
We all inhabit that wasteland. Okay, so I want to talk about politics today, because this explains much. Politics is a tool to exercise power over people. In the world today, Jewish Zionism controls all levels of power. They will be in power no matter who is the apparent head of government, Greg Abbott or Joe Biden. They control both Republicans and Democrats. They control both NATO and the BRICS. They win no matter who loses. Jewish Zionist control of the world is an ancient effort. It began with the Sadducees and the Pharisees in Christ's time. There are just two competitors in the world, Christ and Antichrist. Politics is about the Antichrist because he is trying to take over the world. Who is the Antichrist? It is not complicated. Those who hate Christ and Christians are obviously against Christ, so they are Antichrist. The particular man who we will call the Antichrist will eventually become obvious, but the Antichrist system has been with us since Christ was born. It is not rocket science, yet many people still wonder who they are. The Jews are obviously Antichrist and have been since Christ was born. They tried to strangle Christ in the crib. Specifically, it was the Sadducees and the Pharisees who hated Christ. So I think we need to talk about these people. Who were the Sadducees? The Sadducees were the elites, the political, social, and religious leaders. They still are today. It is the political, social, and religious elites that are Antichrist. All of them. All of them. In particular, the Sadducees did not believe in heaven or hell, like in John Lennon's song, Imagine. They did not believe in rewards and penalties after death. They were, in fact, materialists, just like Karl Marx and his historical materialism. They did not believe in the whole Tanakh, which we call the Old Testament. They only believed in the first five books written by Moses, called the Torah. They do not follow the Talmud or anything that is a part of oral tradition. Today, the religious Sadducees are called Karaites, and they are a very small minority, having only about 50,000 members. However, the non-religious Sadducees make up 32% of all Jews. They can be called secular Jews. Many are atheists and agnostic. In Israel, 65% of all Jews are atheists. They are the inheritors of the Sadducee tradition. They are political and social leaders. They are the Zionists. So who are the Pharisees? The Pharisees were the religious leaders. They believe in the Torah, Tanakh, and the oral Torah or Talmud. They believe in heaven and hell. They believed in rewards and punishment after death. They became what is called rabbinic Judaism. But there are three major forms of rabbinic Judaism today. First is Reform Judaism, makes up 37% of Jews. They believe that the Tanakh and the Talmud are divinely inspired but humanly constructed, and they should be adapted to contemporary moral ideas like LGBT, et cetera, feminism. Social justice is more important than Talmudic laws to them. Initially, Reform Jews were against Zionism because they felt that Jews should assimilate into the societies and nations where they were, and feared that Jewish nationalism would make it hard for them to assimilate. They've mostly gotten over that and have embraced Zionism as they saw Christians embrace Zionism also. Orthodox Judaism makes up 9% of Jews. They believe that the Tanakh and Talmud are in fact divine and adhere strictly to its customs and law. They also initially opposed Zionism, but now some, but not all, embrace it. Conservative Judaism makes up 17% of all Jews. They believe, like the Reform Jews, but insist on obeying some laws and rituals, but not too rigidly. Either, instead of being Jews, they're sort of like Jewish, you know. So they are middle ground between Reform and Orthodox Judaism. They generally do not object to Zionism. The Jews are the children of Cain, out to murder all humanity. They are satanic. The destruction of humanity is their goal. How will they destroy humanity? Gun control is Jewish. The gun violence meme is Jewish. Abortion is Jewish. Abolishing the death penalty is Jewish. Feminism is Jewish. Gay rights is Jewish. Transgenderism is Jewish. Drag queen story hour is Jewish. Climate change is Jewish. The Great Reset is Jewish. Environmentalism is Jewish. Fuel-based inflation is Jewish. Food inflation is Jewish. Housing shortages are Jewish. Peak oil is Jewish. Critical theory is Jewish. Wokeism is Jewish. White replacement is Jewish. The white guilt and white silence is violence memes are Jewish. The border crisis is Jewish. DEI is Jewish. Zionism is Jewish. And Marxism is Jewish. The Jewish goal is to destroy humanity through religious, political, cultural, social, and economic decay. They will do this with war, famine, pestilence, and lawlessness. They are doing it now, and it should be apparent by now. But Judaism is not the only ones who hate Christ and Christians. So does Islam, which should be obvious. Also, the Chinese Communist Party hates Christ and Christians, but that is of Jewish origin because they are Marxists. Obviously, Satanists and atheists hate Christ and Christians. Satanists like to conduct baby sacrifice because it is a personal affront to Christ by shedding innocent blood to attain satanic power. In other words, most of humanity is already under the sway of the Antichrist. Many Christians are under the sway of the Antichrist, like Christian Zionists. Christ said that in the end times, even the elect would be deceived. That is you, Christian Zionists. What about Jews? Well, Christ came to earth as a Jew to save them, but they mostly rejected him. Some did not. If a Jew becomes Christian and is anti-Zionist, they are obviously not Antichrist. Even in Revelation, it says 144,000 of them will survive. That's not many, but it says 144,000 to make it through.
Right.
So there are even many Jews that have converted to Christianity that embrace National Socialism. I know several of them personally. On the other hand, I know many National Socialists that are strict atheists and hate Christ and Christians. They would be followers of the Antichrist. They are not Christ's friends. They are the Antichrist's friends. Atheism is Jewish. It is not National Socialism that defines an anti-Zionist. Ukrainian National Socialists serve the Zionist Jew Zelensky, and Zelensky is exterminating white Christian males and is even outlawing and persecuting the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. Zelensky is clearly an acolyte of the Antichrist. Atheism is both a Jewish and a satanic dogma. They
are say
at the
Mitch?
Forefront of the Antichrist project. Ukrainian
Mitch?
And atheist National Socialists are just as much an oxymoron as a Christian Zionist.
It's true. Mitch, can you hear me? Hold on. I want to say something about Zelensky. This is important, and
okay.
We've talked about this before. For all of you out there who scratch your head and wonder why and how Zelensky is still alive, I want to explain a little bit, just briefly, about that. When Vladimir Putin was growing up, his family had to work. They lived in a big tenement building like so many did during the Soviet era. When he would come home from school every day in the afternoon, 2 o'clock, I don't know when, his parents were gone. The neighboring family would take him in every day, according to what I've read, feed him lunch, help him with his homework, spend time with him. That was a Jewish family. He is predisposed to protecting Jews because of his upbringing. That's
yes.
part of it. The other part
yes.
is the fact that we know that Ukraine is run by Jewish oligarchs, billionaires, who have looted the holy hell out of us while they've gone to their rich heights. Russia is also largely controlled by Jewish oligarchs. You don't hear about that very often, but it's a fact. So there is the reason, in two parts why Zelensky is still alive. They could take that piece of crap out any time they want. They haven't touched him. He's protected. Just remember that. Go ahead.
And Putin promised Israel that he would not assassinate him. That was actual promise.
Yep.
Okay. So it is the hatred of Christ and Christians that defines the followers of the Antichrist. This is just logical. What of those who have not picked a side? This includes nominal Christians. The time is coming when they will have to choose. The Antichrist will make them choose. Already the federal government is having banks provide lists to the FBI of who buys a Bible. If you are a student of religion and have a Bible, a Bhagavad Gita, a Dhammapada, a Tanakh, a Koran, and a copy of Anton LaVey's Satanic Bible, at your trial, they will only point out that you had a Bible. Okay? Until then, Zionist Jews must muddy the waters. That is what politics is all about. It is distraction from the truth that serves to get you invested in the lie. Politics is designed to give false hope. Just look at the mainstream media news cycles. They build suspense and you get invested in questions. Will Congress pass a budget? Yes, they will. But continuing resolution keeps people invested in the process more than an annual budget does. The Supreme Court has many vital questions put before it, like can Trump be banned from the ballot and is banning assault weapons against the Second Amendment? The answers are obvious to all. Trump has not been charged or convicted of insurrection, so how can he be banned from the ballot under the insurrection clause of the 14th Amendment? Your right to bear arms shall not be infringed, and barring you from having the same arms as the infantry soldier is an infringement. The five women on the Supreme Court, Elena Kagan, Ketanji Brown Jackson, Sonia Sotomayor, and John Roberts, ordered the Border Patrol to take the wire down and help illegal aliens into our country. Obviously, the Supreme Court is a whore for the Jewish project. It should be obvious to all of us that there are no free and fair elections in the United States. Not enough people are brainwashed by the Zionists to allow free and fair elections. Yet the news drones on about the Republican primaries as if it mattered at all. It is the circus of the Roman dictatorship, the let-them-eat-cake of Marie Antoinette and the absolute monarchy. The mainstream media is creating the narrative that will explain Biden's impossible win in 2024 general election. They use the Supreme Court's June 2022 overturning Roe v. Wade to explain the Republicans' poor showing in the 2022 and 2023 elections. All the Supreme Court did was return the issue to the states where it belongs. Homicide is a state crime, not a federal crime. They are arguing that Americans value a woman's right to murder her baby more than they value any other freedom. It is more important for an American woman to murder her baby than it is to stop the Jewish genocide of Palestinian children. Exterminating people is far more important than freedom. They value abortion over the right of free speech, religion, assembly, the right to bear arms, the right to have a fair trial, the right to not testify against yourself. Abortion is more important than the economy and even national security. It makes sense. If we cannot defend a baby in the mother's womb, why should anybody have the right to defend their children's innocence from sexual predators in the educational system? Why should anyone have a right to self-defense against a criminal or against the state in court? What outrage is next? Wealthy mayors and city council members are telling you to allow illegal aliens to move into your spare bedroom. Of course, they have bigger houses, but they won't do it. They won't do it. Now it is a volunteer suggestion, but after the next 5 to 10 million illegal aliens arrive in 2024 with Republican help, they will make it mandatory. This is contrary to the spirit of the Third Amendment prohibition against the government boarding troops in your home in a time of peace. They will say that the illegal immigration crisis is a war and pass laws saying that you must house and feed these people. Next, they will pass a law saying that your home is actually theirs. This is the great replacement
in
full.
It's coming.
In Albuquerque recently, a fireman saw his stolen pickup truck and followed it. He fired a round into the air to get the thieves to pull over. He did not point his gun at anyone. The police arrested both men. The thief was a convicted felon that had two previous convictions of aggravated assault with a firearm and a violation of probation on those charges, in addition to grand theft auto. The thief was released the next day, but the fireman was held without bond. 4 days later, the fireman was still in jail when the thief was arrested again on another felony charge. The next day, the thief was released again, and the fireman was still in jail. The district attorney's office said that the fireman was an imminent threat to society, while the guy who stole his car and attacks people with firearms was not. Remember I told you the story last July of a 23-year-old woman who followed her stolen car, repeatedly called the cops who did not respond, and confronted the four people who were in her car, and one of them shot her to death. The cops only arrested the shooter, who, after cooling off period, will be released with minor charges. The police never even charged the three other accomplices. This is not incompetence in raising this. This is intentional. It is intended to destroy our society. It is a Jewish inversion of morality where the justice system protects criminals and prosecutes victims. The system is so rigged that the Jewish Zionists win no matter what. Let's look at how. If they rig the election and the disgusting pedophile Biden wins, the World War III trajectory stays the same. Biden will still show his incompetence, and they will Amendment 25 him. Then Kamala Harris will become the first female president of the United States and the second black president. She will appoint her good friend Gavin Newsom to be vice president, and Congress, including Republicans, will approve it. Newsom has already been running for president by stealth. After a decent interval, some white supremacist patsy, selected by the FBI, will assassinate Kamala Harris so that she can go down as a great American president. Gavin Newsom, Antichrist superstar, will then become president. He will then complete the destruction of the United States just like he destroyed San Francisco and the state of California. On the other hand, if Trump wins, he can fit the Antichrist narrative better. He will begin fixing problems. He will stop the war with Russia and bring peace to the Middle East. He's already has a cult-like following with the QAnon movement and has established a cult of personality among MAGA Americans. A pro-Palestinian protester will shoot him in the head. Trump survives just like the Antichrist scenario has it. He will become more popular than ever, just like he becomes more popular every time charges are leveled against him. Anti-Semitism will become a serious federal felony, and all the woke who support the Palestinians will be rounded up and put in FEMA camps. Well, that's all of us also that will be rounded up. All of us who know the truth will be rounded up because the truth is anti-Semitic. Trump is not a Christian. He is a follower of Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, who wrote the book The Power of Positive Thinking, which is a New Age religious creed. During his first term, Trump was hailed as the Messiah in Israel. They struck a coin with Cyrus on one side and Trump on the other. Trump is obviously a Zionist. His chief of staff was the Zionist Jew Jared Kushner. So who to vote for? Just stop voting. Voting lends legitimacy to the Antichrist. Don't waste your time with the political theater that is going on. The only thing that you can do now is tell the truth. Try to throw a life raft to another lost and confused soul out there. Okay? Get them to wake up. All right? So. So now on to what's going to happen after the fall. You got to worry about friends and enemies. I spent my life hunting humans that were nothing more than cold, vicious predators. I got to know them. I hung out with them, worked with them, and partied with them. We like to think of most people as good, decent people. If you met and hung out with the vicious criminals that I did, you would think that they were nice people also. Really, you would. Most of the time, they are decent to you, even considerate and polite. Bad people do not act like bad people all of the time. They're only bad for a few minutes or hours per day at most, okay? The rest of the time, they're just like anybody else. Let me give you an example. I went with some Cali cartel bosses to the beach in Colombia. The sicarios that hang out with the bosses must be clean-cut, polite, and well-mannered. But they had a street-level hitman with us. He was an annoying jerk they called Mono, which means monkey. Mono annoyed me He was there to intimidate me. The cartel was stress testing me to see how I would deal with him. All major corporations do this to middle management. It is a part of their executive development program. We were driving a skidoo around and Mono fell off. I started driving over him, trying to drown him. It was Colombia, and the other cartel guys would testify that it was an accident. No problem. The top bass boss casually yelled out, Mitch, don't kill him. We need him. This was said without emotion and in a very matter-of-fact manner. They did not like Mono either. I dragged him back to shore. The bosses were not nice people. A couple of months later, another sicario named Carlos, a clean-cut one that I hung out with in Colombia, came to Costa Rica to help me pick up a shipment of cocaine on the beach. The boat was coming in late on a Sunday night where ideally it would just be Carlos and I on the beach. But a German family was lingering on the beach. I remarked that I wished that they would leave. The guys coming on the boat were Colombian pirates, and they would kill the family without hesitation and dump their bodies out at sea. I said that the woman was hot and it would be a shame to kill her. Carlos told me, and I'm quoting, Mitch, we are not animals. We will put her to one last use before we snuff her. These people were definitely animals. You would never know. You would think Carlos was a nice guy, a trusted friend. He would murder you without showing any emotion at all. It would just be another job for him, like pumping gas, a neutral task.
Are you sure he...
This guy who lived behind my place across the canal in Tampa, he had a cigarette boat. He was a snitch for customs. He worked with us on smuggling operations. He was an affable guy. He lived his role and wore flash like he was a drug kingpin. The ladies loved him, or at least his appearance of having money. He was nice to them, considerate, pleasant. He put them at ease. Between us, he was the cool guy that the ladies were attracted to. He was a lady killer. I mean that literally. His name was Oba Chandler, and he raped, tortured, and murdered ladies, lots of them. That was his idea of a good time. He was a monster, but otherwise a nice guy. So my point here is to try to make you understand that when you meet people, they may seem like, okay, wonderful, great people, but do not be deceived. That's how everybody is most of the time, okay?
Yeah.
Any one of you could be, anyone you meet could be a cold, vicious, and heartless killer. After working serial killer cases and homicide, I would reckon that every person has met a serial killer in their lifetime. You just didn't know they were. Most serial killers have not been caught. They are still out there. Anarchy and lawlessness bring the beast out in them more. After the fall, people will be at their worst. Never be at their mercy. Never let them have control over you. These people play with their food. Most will approach you in a kind and friendly fashion to disarm you. These people will not give you a second chance. If you have a gun on them and they try to get close to you, just shoot them. If they have a gun on you, be calm. Act like it's no big deal, a formality. When they get close to you, attack them and fight for your life. You have nothing to lose. That is what they are going to do to you anyway. Before the fall, you must know who your enemies are and who your friends are. Keep in mind that many people that you now think are your friends may just be fair weather friends. If they have not been stress tested, you just do not know. My next door in Tampa was a serial killer. Is yours? After the fall, everyone you don't know is your enemy if you want to stay alive. After the fall is not the time to make friends. No more Mr. Nice Guy. No more being friendly to people. Be polite. Be respectful, because even the bad people do that. But do not be confused by respectful people. The most respectful people I have ever met were violent criminals. This is how they disarm you and get close to you. Who will you likely have to fight? Foreign invaders? Not likely, unless you're near a border, in which case foreign civilians are likely to raid into American soil to raid, pillage, and plunder. You are unlikely to have to worry about an organized foreign military force. The American military is definitely an enemy force, and so is law enforcement. They protect the state and criminals, not you. You are definitely their enemy. Most military will be concentrated in littoral areas because that is what they are training for. Littoral areas are along the coast and along major navigable waters. The goal is to control what little trade is left. The control of food will give what is left of the government all of their power after the fall. I have talked to both La MA gang members and Crips gang members. La MA is the Mexican mafia. They act as a central clearinghouse for the Hispanic gangs. Every large city has gangs. Even medium-sized cities and some small towns have gangs. Gangs intend to grab certain parts of the city. They will seize big box stores and use that to provide for the people on their turf. Food will be a weapon. And when this happens, they actually already have their boundaries figured out. The police in my city are a gang, just a better organized gang with better training and equipment. They have carved out a fiefdom in the city. Over the years, they have all moved to the same neighborhood. Yes, they have been planning for when the shit hits the fan for decades. It is not just police. They got firemen and paramedics to move in. They recruited emergency room nurses and paramedics to move in. Pharmacists and even Air Force security police, because our Air Force base is a storage place for nuclear weapons. The Air Force security police that guards them get good training and tend to spend their career at this one base. They never go overseas. After the fall, they intend to concentrate on protecting their own area. They won't be coming to help you. Along the U.S.-Mexican border, Mexican drug cartels and American Hispanic street gangs like La M.A. will set up their own little fiefdoms in the Seattle, San Francisco, and Los Angeles areas. There will be Asian gang fiefdoms. Even the Indian reservations have criminal gangs on them. They will all take control when there is a lack of law and order. So let me give you the breakdown of criminal gang members in the United States. It's as follows. Hispanic gangs, 644,000 members. Black gangs, 490,000 members. White gangs, only 154,000 members. Asian gangs, 98,000 members, but you have to remember that the percentage of Asians is pretty low. Since white people make up most of the U.S. population, they are clearly the least organized. The whites that are organized are very insular and exclusive, like skinheads and hammer skins. Gangs will take from you and be very demanding. They will want your wives and daughters. They will demand that you perform for them to have their protection. You will have to do many immoral things to prove your loyalty to them. Some white people are in militias. Most are not. I have met with militia people, and most of them have stress-tested their members through being attacked by Antifa and by the FBI. There are large and more organized black militias like the Black Duella family who intend to kill all the white people and take their shit. So you have many enemies, realistically, who are your friends. Family can have trust with each other through blood ties. You can tell that it has not been a part of most white people's culture for a long time. That was intentional.
Right.
Next, you would be lifelong friendships that have been stress-tested through time. Check your neighbors. I have found them to be poor allies. I have stress-tested my neighbors over the past 3 years, and hardly any will be allies when the shit hits the fan. Most will be burdens, if not enemies. This is an important question because your life will depend on it. You should only associate with people who will have your back. If you are on your own or in a small group, your best bet is to travel out of sight and sound of others, practicing light and noise discipline and avoiding contact with others. Your goal is to not attract attention. Try not to form alliances with people from other races or ethnic groups because they are likely to turn on you if you are confronted with a group that is like them. The best thing to do is identify your group before the fall. This is hard
right.
because few believe it's going to happen.
Right.
If only you prepare and they don't, they will be a drag on you. Make contingency plans now. Know where you are going to go and familiarize yourself with the area that you're going to. There is still time to form small militia or group, but not much time. not a political or ideological militia, but a survival militia. Survival is a goal that everyone can agree upon. You know, you could even do this with family. Say, look, just if there's if the economy completely crashes and there's law and order, you know, let's get together and protect each other. Okay, regardless of where your family's head at, everybody wants to live. You know, so.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
it's
many
best
good
to have
things.
Some ties.
It used to be. Parents used to teach their children common sense, self-protective activities. They were told. I was told, you know, be careful with strangers. Be careful around strangers. I don't think kids are being taught that anymore at all.
Yeah.
I just don't.
No, you
they
have
just
to
turn
be
loose.
Yeah.
You parents out there
have judged strangers.
Parents have the chance of a lifetime raising a child. It's the greatest blessing I've ever known, and they don't seem to appreciate it. They just many of them don't. Many do, many don't. And to teach your child, to arm your child with the right logical, pragmatic, common sense thinking about strangers is critical. I don't know how many children are stolen, abducted every year and sold into slavery or killed in rituals in this country and around the world. I don't
more
know.
So
it's
now,
a lot.
More so now
it's
than
a lot.
In the 1960s or 70s.
Oh, absolutely.
Let me just point this out. In 1971, when I went into the Army, when I was a kid, I had to fight all the time. And it's not just fist fights. It was people would use weapons and stuff. I had people trying to kill me when I was little. Now most people didn't have it that extreme, okay? But when I went in the Army, most of the other soldiers that were in my infantry unit or in my armor unit, okay, they had personally been in fights, okay? I talk to people now that are 30 and 40 years old. They've never been in a fist fight in their life. In their life, they've never been in a fight.
Wow!
It's a whole different mentality.
Well, now,
and stuff. I
now
don't
now
think
with
necessarily prepared for it.
With the soy boys and the estrogen boys, there are going to be fewer chances of that. Now they don't know what reality is anymore.
Reality is over.
It's
just look at everything that the government tells you is unacceptable to think. What the government tells you is unacceptable to think, that is the truth, okay? They don't want you to think the truth. They want to squelch the truth the best they can. It's entirely inappropriate to be anti-Semitic. And you see the trick of the word anti-Zionist? It's anti-Zionist that you should be, but they say, oh, no, anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. It is not. That is a lie, okay? But just go ahead and embrace it. I mean, the point is, it's like they don't necessarily want you to believe in Satan. Okay, you don't have to do that. You just can't believe that they are Satan. That's all they expect you to do. Okay.
Got it. Wow. All right. So, how much longer is this insanity going to go along? They're talking about killing now 2 million people in Gaza through starvation, disease, and so forth, bombing. Who's going to stop them? Who's going to stop them? The Israeli Jews, Zionists, who's going to stop them?
Well, let's put it this way. Remember I said before that they're doing this through the inevitability of gradualism. They're doing it through protracted war. So you see that they killed those three soldiers and stuff, and a general got up in the Pentagon, and the first thing he said is, well, we can't let this escalate out of control. You see, what they want to do is they're exterminating the Palestinians. Now, they want to be left alone to do that. You don't want Iran and and the Arab countries to get involved at this point. So they're just going to creep up a little bit more. We saw this in the past year with Ukraine. Russia sets all these red lines, and we slowly just creep across those red lines. And we don't want to provoke an actual escalation. We're going to escalate very slowly and carefully. And we're going to kill as many people as possible. We're going to make as many people miserable as possible. And we're going to be taking away freedoms as fast as possible. As a matter of fact, Jamie Raskin today introduced a bill to stop any kind of paramilitary training. Okay, like I just told you, form your own little militia and get ready. And he's already trying to pass a bill in Congress to stop you from doing that.
Raskin.
He's Jewish.
Another Raskin. One. Of course. Now, yep. What about the, I don't know how many there were, over 15, I think, Muslim training camps in the U.S. to train soldiers. This is going back 15 years or more, 20. Yep. There were training camps hidden all around the U.S., strictly for Muslims. And I can't remember how many exactly, but they were here. They probably still are.
Here in New Mexico, too. But, you know, there was no big, when they arrested him, it was over minor charges, relatively minor charges.
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't make a big deal out of it because they didn't want people to be prejudiced against Muslims because Muslims hate Christ. Okay.
Right.
Anybody who hates Christ is a friend of the Zionists.
Yep. Okay? Yep. Wow. What a scene. What a mess. And again, I just rhetorically say, who's going to stop the Jewish state from doing this? Palestinians don't want to leave Gaza. They know if they leave, even to go under a hospital ship, they'll probably never get back. So food drops, there's no airport there.
To picture in their mind, if you were a Palestinian in Gaza today, do you think, does your world look like the apocalypse? Yes, it does.
Sure
it does. It's going to come to us soon, too. Yeah.
I'm afraid so. Mitchell, excellent work as always. Thank you for your contributions. We'll talk to you next week. You be safe. Be careful.
Okay, you too.
All righty. Mitch Henderson. Okay, that's it for tonight. Monday, we're off and rolling. Back with you tomorrow night. Hope to see you then, 21 hours from now. Thanks for all the kind words, and we'll talk tomorrow night.